Thanks so much, Debbie. She's such a dear, dear woman. Love her heart. So fill in this blank with me. I'm sure you have heard this phrase, God helps those who help themselves. Where do we find that in the Bible? What verse is that, do you know? Do you know where we find it? You know, there was a Barna poll a number of years back that revealed that more than half of Americans believe that's a Bible verse. And actually, the percentage is higher for Americans who self-identify as Christians. And actually, 75% of American teenagers, when they took that poll, believed the message, God helps those who help themselves, to be one of the central messages of the Bible. So what do you think? Is it? Is it in the Bible? That verse show up in the Bible? Answer, no, nowhere. That's a phrase actually by Ben Franklin, who's a good guy on his own, that actually came out of some of Greco-Roman mythology. Anyways, but we're gonna see today that actually the counterintuitive truth is even more true. What the Bible does tell us is God helps those who help others, who helps others. But this is one among a thousand reasons why we need God's word in our life. And that's why we're in this series in the book of Proverbs. We're seeking godly wisdom. It's the Bible paints the picture of a world that where the creator of the world is not just the one who created the physical world, the stuff that we can see and the physical laws around us, like gravity and stuff like that, but also the moral laws around us, the things that we don't see, those patterns and pathways of right and wrong, of blessing and of cursing. That the same God that created all the giraffes and dandelions and butterflies in the Grand Canyon also created righteousness and holiness. And in its absence, in the places where there's an absence of that, of wickedness or folly. And so, anyways, we've been committing ourselves to growing in wisdom, and we've made three wisdom commitments to one another. Let's review them just a little bit. So first one is, commitment number one, I will seek wisdom from who? Why? Because God's the author of wisdom, right? If you want to know how to fly a Boeing 737, you might as well go to the Boeing factory and learn how to fly it. The creator knows the creation. So if we want to seek wisdom, we need to seek the one who created wisdom. That's God. So we've been challenging each other to be in the word every day, not just because it's a great idea, but because we're wanting to grow in wisdom. And in particular, throughout September, October, we have been challenging each other to be in the chapter of Proverbs that corresponds to that day of the month. So this morning, many of you are in Proverbs chapter 11. That's going to be where we're going to be today as our primary verse. So just to be in the word and see what you notice in it. The Spirit of God speaks through the word of God. And so as something kind of catches your attention, spend a little bit of time with it. So that's commitment number one. I will seek wisdom from God. Second commitment is I will spend less time consuming and more time what? Thinking. Do this with me. I'm going to train you, and we're going to train one another. Do this with me. When I'm thumbing, I'm not what? Thinking. When I'm thumbing, I'm not thinking. Where I'm not thinking deeply. That wisdom is not reacting. Wisdom is reflecting. Now, with your smartphones, and many of you are watching, actually quite a number of you are watching on a smartphone right now, and that's good. It's okay. Smartphones are great places to get information, but they're lousy places to get wisdom. Information is fast and shallow, but wisdom is slow and deep. So I'm going to spend less time consuming. I'm going to give my thumb a little break so my brain can take over, and more time thinking. Remember that when you are on social media, and it's okay to be on social media, I mean, somebody's got to keep up on the puppy videos, it's okay. It's okay to be on social media, but realize that when you are scrolling on whatever platform you're on, there are literally trillion dollar supercomputers on the other side of the screen that have been programmed by some of the brightest minds on the planet, and they have one purpose, and that's to keep you scrolling. Because the more you scroll, the more money they make. That's how that works. That's how it's monetized. But that also means that you know, there's AI, there are powerful computers trying to feed you what it thinks you want. And so, I mean, it's okay to be on social media, but be very, very aware that the posts that you're seeing are not the fullness of what all your friends are thinking. It's what the algorithm thinks you want to see. That's why slowly over time, when we're not being thoughtful about it, all of us are slowly being radicalized. Because we're being fed a continuous loop of the things that we already believe. We gotta be real careful about this. So I'm gonna spend less time consuming and more time thinking. I can engage on the internet, I can engage on social media, but I do so thoughtfully. And I let my time in the Word, because I'm seeking wisdom from who? God. I let my time in the Word guide my engagement in the world. Okay? If you're all spending all your time in the world, you're probably not spending much time in the Word. Wisdom's found in the Word. Okay. So then there's the third commitment, is I will look for wise examples around me. Look to your left. Look to your right. Could be there. Could be there. Because God in his love for you has put wisdom in people around us. Now, oftentimes those people aren't on TV, and I realize that for some of you, I'm on your TV right now, so that's kind of ironic, I guess. But the truly wise people of the world will be known for how they live. They're going to be known for a humble heart and attitude, and they're going to be known as people who live well. So we turn to God's word to teach us to identify true godly wisdom, and then we look for it in the world around us. Those are our three commitments. How have you been doing on those? Pretty good? Yeah. You're in? We've been in the Word? Been in the Word? Thumbs up. Online, give me some likes. Yeah. Where there's no, they're not seeing anything. All right. But you're in the Word, right? Okay. Getting in the Word. So today we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 11 and looking at the theme of how God helps those who help others with this passage. Proverbs 11 verses 24 and 25. Let's read it out loud together. One person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. Then our key verse of the day. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Now that's a theme we see throughout the scriptures, and I don't have these verses up on the screen, but let me just read them while we keep that verse up on the screen. So Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, not looking to your own interests, but each of you look to the interests of others. Proverbs 19, 17, whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, for he will repay him for his deed. Matthew 25, 40, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. I mean, this is the theme we see throughout the scriptures. Now, you might be wondering, as you see a passage like this, you go, you know, it's like, whoever, a generous person will prosper. Wait a second. I know some stingy people that are doing just fine, thank you very much. Does that mean that God's word isn't true? No. Remember, a proverb is not a promise. I mean, our relationship with God isn't like a transactional thing. Like I put three quarters in the top and the soda pop that I'm looking for pops out the bottom. It's not, our prayer doesn't work like that necessarily. But what these proverbs do is they point us to this deeper reality, and they point us to a God who has created the world so that there are channels for blessing that actually result in material blessing. That is part of God's plan. That there are ways to materially prosper that completely honor the Lord. And key to that prosperity is that heart of generosity. Somebody who gives freely and who freely gives, that as our standard of living rises, our standard of giving rises as well. Or even just think of the ecosystems of the world. Isn't it amazing? You know, you see how, you know, with the plants and the animals and how everything in a healthy ecosystem, everything nourishes each other. Everything kind of works in perfect harmony. But it also works, like that's the same thing in a healthy economy as well. People are freely giving and freely receiving. There's spending, there's wealth accumulation, there's generosity. That's the kind of world that God designed. There are ways to get ahead materially that completely and totally honor God. That's through generosity. Now, I'm assuming that if you're watching today or you're here in the room today, and it's just great to see so many in the room today, that, you know, this idea of generosity is something that you're already pretty committed to. You're like, yeah, I want to be a generous person. Just so send me some hearts, some thumbs up if that's you. You're like, mm-hmm, okay. So we want to be generous. We want to be generous. But I'm also assuming that right now, in this season, this COVID thing, this time of extra tension, all that stuff, that being truly generous is harder than normal. You with me? Okay. And here I'm talking not just about financially generous, but we're also going to look at what it means to be emotionally generous and generous with our time and those kind of things, because this has been a tough year. I found a clip that kind of explains sort of how 2020 has felt for me. This is an actual video clip of my inner emotional life. Maybe it's like yours. Let's run that clip. Run that clip. January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, please tell me it's over, right? Anybody relate to that? Yeah, okay. That's how it feels. You're like, okay, this is just scary tough. I'm going to go into my shell. Or I was thinking about this. Who has ever ridden on a roller coaster? Roller coaster? Okay. You know how you get on a roller coaster and they strap you in and it starts to go up the incline? And if you've never been on that roller coaster before, where are your hands? Right? You're just totally, you can relate. You got your grip super tight. You're just gripping onto that thing. And you're hanging on for dear life. Now, we naturally do that, right? We naturally grip tightly when we're in situations of fear. Does that help you at all? Have you ever seen a report like, horrible accident at Six Flags, dozens injured, but not Melanie, she hung on tight? It doesn't help at all, right? Not a single thing, but it's our natural human reflex. Or just one more illustration is, I'm going to say this because she's actually not here, she's sleeping, she had to work all last night. When I'm watching movies with my wife, my dear, dear wife of 25 years, maybe some of you can relate to this. Every time a scary part comes on, her hand goes on my knee. And so if it's like a really like intense movie, you know, if you're watching in the movie theater, I come out like, how was the movie? You're like, ah, it was pretty good. It was pretty good, except for that one part with the monster, you know. We grip tightly. We grip tightly in times of fear. That's the only point I'm trying to make here. I hope I don't get in trouble for this. Okay. But we naturally grip tightly. We retreat into our shells. We grip onto the bar. We cling tight, even though, I mean, the damage that my dear wife does to my kneecap in a scary movie, does that make the monster leave the screen? No. Doesn't change a thing. But that's what we do. And so I think that right now, one of the things that holds all of us back from the kind of generous life that I'm assuming that each of us wants to live, it's that. It's that sense of this. Right now, it feels like there's less margin. Right now, it feels like things are tighter. You relate with what I'm saying? Hey, let's do that with me. Just this, my fists are tight. Fists are tight. The closed fist, the fist that makes it harder to give, makes it harder to be open to others. It's just because I want to talk about that. Because I think there was at least three areas of life where we're finding ourselves right now lacking some margin. And even though we want to be the kind of person who refreshes others and experiences God's refreshment, it's a little harder right now. So I want to just spend some time unpacking that. And actually, to ask the question, and maybe if you can think about this in the room, and I'm going to check in with my buddies online here in a moment, is where do you feel the least margin? Or where are your hands gripped tightest? Is it with financial? Is it with emotional? Or is it with time? So spend some time thinking about that. There's about a 30-second delay here, so I'll come back to that question, and we'll check in with each other on this. But so maybe it's financial. For some of us, you know, we took a pay cut this year, and you're like, okay, I have less, and so I have to give less. But what I'm really talking about here is when you're going, okay, things feel a little bit tight, things feel very uncertain. And so for many people, they stop giving entirely. So I'm feeling that tightness. I don't know what tomorrow will bring, and so I don't know. I just don't know, Lord, if I can give. For some, it's going to be more in the emotional. Like, we want to be emotionally generous. We want to care generously. We want to have a generous attitude, but we just find ourselves, you know, we find ourselves maybe extra tired. So maybe you have a hard time sleeping. I sometimes experience that. Or you find yourself just wanting to sleep all the time. Like, your sleep patterns have really, really changed. Or maybe it's where you go, why am I experiencing such mood swings? You relate to that? Some of you probably do. You know, why am I more triggered than normal? You know, why are my thought life and how I'm reacting to the people around me, why is it harsher than it used to be? What's going on? Well, what's going on is we have less and less emotional margin. We're feeling tight. For some, that's why you're drinking too much right now. It's a response to the emotional tightness, to the lack of emotional margin that you're feeling right now. Maybe that's your area. Or maybe it's time. Maybe it's time. Like, for some, like if you talk to like a school teacher right now, like, hey, how much time does it take you to do a lesson plan? They're gonna look at you like, what? it's simple. Just do the regular lesson plan you had for 30 kids. Only have half of it be online and half of it in the room. And next week it might entirely change and all the rules will be different, but you just plan for it. And even the simplest of things take longer. If you're working in medical right now and you're doing all the extra measures of protection, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The basic things take longer and longer. If you're in ministry right now, you can relate. Even the basic things take longer and longer. You can't congregate large groups as easily, so getting people together and getting feedback from folks. And like, I mean, I live in a world where probably, you know, half of my phone calls get returned, half of the text, just because people are just, it's hard. Or, you know, you're trying to plan a sermon where you're like, hey, let's have everybody online and everybody in the room. Let's have all the, it takes more work. Now, that's just my little sad tale of woe, but I think many of us are experiencing the same kind of thing. The students, you know, is it taking more time to do all this remote learning? It's the time. It's getting pressed. So let's just check in. So Jim says time. Charlie says emotional. Marilyn, good to see you, Marilyn. Emotional. Debbie, emotional. Tammy, emotional. Don, emotional. Bev, time. Ailette, time. Sarah, time. We're all feeling it. Now, we might be feeling it differently. But we all have those areas, you know, where the margins are less, where we're just bound up. So here's what I want to, just with the remainder of my time with you today, is just to talk about what it might mean to try to let God into some of those places where our fists are tight and where it feels like we don't have the margin that we're needing. So let's talk about the financial. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, Paul says this, and it's really kind of ironic because here he's writing to a church in Corinth. It's a Gentile church. functionally in Greece, asking them to give really generously to a famine that's happening in the area of Jerusalem, to Christians that are from, in this case, from a different socioeconomic group, from a different nationality, and from a different race. Like, so asking them to do some pretty dramatic stuff. Says this, 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 and 7. But remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. So don't worry about guilt and don't worry about that kind of stuff. But for God loves a cheerful giver. So one of the aspects of what it means to follow Jesus with our lives is to trust him financially. And so if that's been an area, if finances are an area that's been especially tight, I mean, just even statistically, now part of the culture of this church, just so you're aware, is that, like as the senior pastor here, I don't know what people give. I mean, that we intentionally keep that information, our donor information, we intentionally keep that anonymous. But what I do know is that somewhere about half of the people that we'd call Columbia Grove their home church don't give anything at all. So the majority of ministry is carried by about half of the church, at least fiscally that way. But, so here's what I just want to encourage you to consider. If you're part of that, and maybe you're feeling that, like, I'm just in the time and everything is tight, and everything is tight, and everything is tight, and everything is tight, and it is. And it's harder. It really is. Is to consider what might it be to take a step of faith in that area of fiscal generosity, to go from a closed fist to an open one. Now, maybe you're skeptical, and I understand that it's kind of weird, you know, somebody that receives a salary from the church to talk about that. So I kind of get that. So you know, maybe your starting point isn't even to give to a local church first. You know, maybe it's to give to a missions organization or one of our local, like, community service organizations. We partner closely with the Lighthouse. They're awesome. With Small Miracles, they're awesome. With Servanache Valley, we just love what they're doing. But if you've never taken a step of generosity fiscally, and maybe this is what one of the ways that God is looking to actually expand your faith today. I mean, we say, God, please take care of me financially. God, please bless my family financially. That's a legitimate prayer. And maybe God is answering it by saying, okay, give me something to work with. So what are you going to trust me with so that I can bless you? How to move from a place where our fists are closed to a place where our fists are open. Because when our fists move from closed to open, it's not only about being able to give from what we were clinging on to, it's also allowing us to receive. So that's the first area, just to be thinking about. But for some of us, and for many of us, even looking at the live feed here is the emotional. This is a season that just feels really, really emotionally tight. And so I'm reminded of what Paul writes to the church in Ephesus. He's talking about what it means to be community with one another. And he says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as in Christ God forgave you. That part of maybe opening up our those areas of emotional tightness or where we feel a lack of margin is to try to grow in those areas of making gracious assumptions of the people around us, especially with those we differ with. That's one of the things I think our culture is trying to do to divide the church, is to allow some of the world's values, the win-lose, the pick your side, and whatever side you're on, you cannot ever say anything even pleasant about the other side. Trying to take some of those same values and drag them into the church. God, let me see your eyes. Don't fall for it. These next few weeks are going to be intense. Now, I hope very much that you vote. Please vote. Please pray about how you vote. Please vote wisely and well. Look for righteousness on the ballot and then put your mark next to it wherever you can find it. And as you encounter especially other believers who may not see eye to eye with you on every candidate or every issue, a big part of what it means to be a family of faith together is to be kind to one another and be generous with one another. It is okay to acknowledge something good that happens on the other political side, the one that you would never, ever vote for. If they do something right, it's okay to say it. Now, it doesn't mean you agree with everything they do, and it doesn't mean you need to vote for them. But it also doesn't mean you need to demonize them either. That's the world's trick. Don't fall for it. Vote wisely, vote well, vote for righteousness, but you don't need to slam everything the other side does, whatever that other side is for you. And the key to that, we find this in this verse. Can we put that verse up on the screen again? I'm going real fast. Thanks, Rick. Here's how we can be kind and compassionate to one another and to be forgiving with one another. The key is, like in almost every arena of life, the key is Jesus. Because we remember how much Christ has forgiven us. If you were to look at the fullness of my heart, I am a hot mess. And if God gave me what I deserve, when my heart stops beating, I'm heading straight to hell. If it was just me. But thank God that yesterday, like Ian was singing, where'd he go? Thank God that yesterday is gone. Thank God I've been forgiven. I've been redeemed. And if your heart belongs to Jesus, you have too. Amen? Amen. God has been incredibly, outrageously gracious to you. Outrageously gracious to me. My sins are forgiven. The mistakes of my past, the darkness of my heart, that does not define me. My life is defined by the love of Christ. He tells me who I am. And when I remember that, it starts to open my hands up again. Allows me to be gracious, kind to one another. Because I remember that even though I might be seeing the speck in their eye, I remember the day that Jesus was working, and he's still working on the log in mine. So the third area, time. Again, I just think, what does it mean to let Jesus into those places in our life where we feel tightness, where we feel a lack of margin? I'm reminded, this case is of an Old Testament passage. And here, you know, God is actually reprimanding the nation of Israel. He's saying, this is one of the reasons why you're screwed up, okay? So just take it from that angle. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel says. In quietness and rest is your salvation. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. But you would have none of it. When you look at the pace of the world around us sometimes, maybe even the pace of your life, if you're being honest, this is the verse that describes some of what's going on in the world today. We think about how, you know, one of the patterns that God instituted in, you know, from the very time of creation is that pattern of Sabbath. Saying, God, my time is in your hands. So I'm going to work diligently, but then I'm also going to take time. I'm going to take time to rest. Do you rest? Now, an American value is, I will not quit, I will not rest. America's not going in the right direction, folks. It's to take time to rest. Now, I struggle in this area, and I imagine some of you do, and I'm watching this feed here, and I know some of your stories, and some of us, we're all in the same boat. We have a tough time giving God our time. You know, sometimes it's because, you know, we're addicted to work. Sometimes it's because we care so much for the people around us that we think, okay, if I pull back from this, if I pull away from these responsibilities, I'm going to let somebody down, and we're just terrified of that. And I get that. I get that. But do you realize, and this is one of those moments where I'm going to wag my finger at you, and there's like three fingers pointing back at me. Okay. Do you realize that God can do more with one surrendered minute of your life than you can with years and years and years of striving? Do you realize that? And so it's okay to take those times away with the Lord. To not just to veg out, but to fill up. You know, our key passage in, I know I'm jumping around a little bit, but could we put that Proverbs 11 passage up on the screen again? Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Next slide. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Do you realize that God wants to refresh you? I mean, that's part of the gospel. He loves you like crazy. He loved you so much, he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for you. He wants you to be refreshed. And so part of the trick is, will you just stop running around and let him do it? Will you hold still and let me love you for a minute? And so maybe for you today, you know, as we think of those areas of life where we experience that tightness, where that lack of margin, maybe if time is one of those areas, maybe today it'd be good to consider, what does it mean to open your hand up in that area? To say, okay, I'm going to put some boundaries on my calendar. And I'm not going to just be available all the time. There's going to be moments I put my phone down. I turn the ringer off. There's going to be moments I might even feel like, and I'm talking to myself here, I might even feel like I'm going to let some people down. I'm not going to respond right away because I'm going to make time with the Lord a priority. My hope is there'd be at least some time with the Lord every single day. You know, you take a few minutes and spend time in the Word. You spend some time in prayer. Allow him to fill you and refresh you there. But that's also, you know, some weekly patterns. I mean, do you have a day? And maybe today is that day, which is wonderful. That's fantastic. And so many of you are making worship a priority. Whether you're doing that online, you're doing it in the building, you are taking time for worship. That's part of that act of Sabbath. It's part of that act that says, God, I'm coming to you for strength. I'm going to stop worrying about me running the world, and I'm going to remember that you've been running it all along. I'm going to take some time. I'm going to cease being productive so that I can trust you, so that you can work on my behalf, and so that you can fill me up, so that when I do re-engage, whatever that re-engagement looks like as a retired person, as a parent, as a teacher, or wherever you work, so when I do engage, I'm doing so with my heart full and not just empty. I'm going to trust you that whoever refreshes others will themselves be refreshed, and I want to refresh others, and so God, I need you. I need you to refresh me. So here's what I want to challenge us with, is what area in your life, what's the area in your life where you feel the least amount of margin? You've already identified it. Many of you have already identified it. What would it mean for you to let God in there? Whatever that step of faith would be. So maybe it's financial. Maybe it could go from being somebody who doesn't give anywhere to being someone who gives somewhere. I'm going to open up my hands, Lord. This is hard for me. We're on a roller coaster. And we're heading downhill. It is real. But Lord, help me to let go. Open my hands and trust you So maybe it might be a financial step is your step today. Maybe it's your step. Maybe it's an emotional one. God, help me to remember who I am in you. Help me to be more gracious with the people around me. Maybe, Lord, help me to reach out, especially to those who I know are hurting or lonely, the person I haven't seen in a long time. I'm not just waiting for them to come to me. I'm going to be someone who goes to them. I'm going to be emotionally generous in my assumptions with the people I disagree with. Remember that person that's triggering and freaking out on social media, that maybe it's because there's actually other things going on in their life other than the fact that they're an idiot because they disagree with me. Maybe there's more going on there. Make some generous assumptions because I remember that I have been forgiven by Jesus. Or maybe it's that area of time. Maybe you're going to trust the Lord today, do something radical, and you're going to take a nap this afternoon. Maybe you're going to find a way to have that hard conversation at work to say, "Hey, I'm not going to be constantly available. Maybe I'm going to ask God to reorder some of my priorities so that so I'm just not trying to be on all the time. I'll work hard. I just won't work nonstop." What's that step for you? Because God wants to refresh you. He wants to invite, he wants to refill us. So just want to invite us to pray, okay? Will you bow your heads with me? Online, would you bow your heads with me? And just like we started off our worship service, would you open, just to practice opening up your hands? Just to practice opening up your hands. And as we pray, I'm going to invite you just under your breath to lift up one or multiple areas in your life where you're saying, "God, this is where I'm feeling tight. I'm feeling like I'm lacking margin." And just to take that area and just entrust it to Him in prayer, whatever that might be. You can do this at home too. Lord, thank you that you desire good for me. You desire good for us. And you want to bless our lives so that our lives can be a blessing to the people around us. And God, we admit that we so often we get locked up by the fear and the uncertainty, and it's the hard season and we hang on too tight. But Lord, this morning we're going to learn how to let go. We're going to trust you. And so just invite you under your breath, just right now, just to whisper whatever that area is to the Lord, the area that you're most feeling the tension. Thank you, Jesus, that you just heard that. You just heard it. Lord, open my hands. Thank you that you're good. Thank you that you take care of me. Thank you that you love me. Thank you that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for me out of your great love. And so, Lord, I give this area of my life to you. Fill me. Refresh me, God, that I might refresh others as well. We pray all these things in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Just continue in that attitude and spirit of prayer.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath. It's your breath in our lungs.
So that's what brings us to this place of communion. So if you're at home, I hope you've got some bread somewhere, some juice somewhere. If you're in the room, I invite you to take these packets out. We think about generosity in our own lives. This is one example of what the generosity of God looks like. That he would love you and me and us so much that he would send his son, Jesus Christ, to give his body and to shed his blood so that our sins could be forgiven. Because on the night when Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and when he did, he gave it to his disciples, giving thanks, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body. It's given for you." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, remembering me." And so as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. So in just a few moments, I want to invite you to if you're in the room, to partake. And maybe if you're sitting next to somebody, even though it's probably not appropriate to share those elements with one another, but look one another in the eye as they eat the cracker, as they drink the juice, and say to them these words: "This is Christ's body given for you. This is Christ's blood shed for you." And if you're at home, I invite you to do that to one another. If you're with somebody, but if you're on your own, I want you to know that you are not alone. We're doing this together as a church family. Lord, thank you that you gave your body. Lord, thank you that you shed your blood so that we could have life, true life, so that our lives now could be rich and full and abundant. Even when the world around us feels like it is spinning out of control, God, you give us strength and you give us hope and you give us peace and you give us courage and you give us identity and you give us fulfillment. And thank you, God, that you do all that out of your love for us. We worship you and we remember your generosity. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, serve one another. And allow God to refresh you.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart.
Stand and worship the Lord together.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry.
These bones will sing.
These bones will sing.
Let's join together in the words that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Words are commonly called the Lord's Prayer. If you came with somebody and it's appropriate, maybe even grab their hand if you're at home. Grab the hand of the person next to you. And I invite you, even if you're at home alone right now, please say these words out loud. Just because it's a way of training our hearts to remember that we are in this together as a family of faith. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those that sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So if you're in the room, please have a seat for just a moment. Now, in a few minutes when you leave, there's going to be some opportunities to serve. There's some cards out in the foyer. Take a card and fill it out. We are isolation busters. We are encouraging, especially those who are shut in, like in assisted living. And you've sent hundreds of cards already, hundreds, and it's making a huge difference. Please keep doing that. You can do that together. And also, you've already heard a little bit about those apples and that kind of a thing. There, if you want, you can do that online at sharetheharvest.com. There's dashes in between all the words. Or there's also order forms there. Order some apples. It makes a difference around the world. But before you just run out, before we just go off to the next thing in life, what I hope we could do is not just kind of watch church. Now we get to really be church. Would you take about 5 minutes and spend some time? We're going to put some questions up on the screen. Spend some time with the people who are right around you. And, you know, if you're here on your own, clump, you know, find a safe person. We can do the mask thing, all that stuff. And just talk. Just check in. Check in with each other. If you're at home, check in with each other. Check in with each other. Love one another. Listen to one another. Encourage one another. Build one another up. It's one of the best things we can do right now. So Lord, as we go from this place, Lord, may we be people who are experiencing refreshment from you so that we can refresh others in every arena of life, from the financial to the emotional to time to probably the things we didn't even talk about today. All of it's yours. All of it's yours. And we look around at a world that's hurting and we see a God above us that's good. Lord, help us to be conduits of your blessing and love to the needs around us. Help us to truly love like Jesus this week. We pray all these things in his name. Amen. Guys, thanks for coming. Thanks for being a part. Thanks for watching. The Lord bless you as we go in peace and serve the Lord. Amen.